Continuing, we therefore project probable realignments in the alliance systems of the interstate system, along with increased sharp economic fluctuations, a sharpened and in particular a geographically widened class struggle, an increasing inability of states to control their civil societies, and a persistent reinforcement of the claims to equality by all the disadvantaged status groups. It's very unclear in the nature of things where this will lead. After 1848, the world's old left were sure that 1917 would occur. They argued about how and where and when, but the middle range objective of popular sovereignty was clear. After 1968, the world's anti-systemic movements, the old and the new ones together, showed rather less clarity about the middle range objective. They have tended, therefore, to concentrate on short range ones. There is clearly a danger that if organizations concentrate on short range objectives, even in the name of long range ideals, they may sacrifice middle range success or even middle run survival. And I think we've seen that risk, danger come to pass. We're still in it. We have no answer to the question, 1968, rehearsal for what? In a sense, the answers depend on the ways in which the worldwide family of anti-systemic movements will rethink its middle-run strategy in the 10 or 20 years to come. 1917, for good or ill, was the result of an enormous amount of collective and conscious effort by the world's old left in the years following 1848. No doubt it was also the result of structural developments in the capitalist world economy, but it would not have happened without human organization and revolutionary programs. The risks of drifting are very clear. The tenets of the status quo have not given up, however much their position is weakened structurally and ideologically. They still have enormous power and are using it to reconstruct a new inegalitarian world order. They could succeed. Or the world could disintegrate from a nuclear or an ecological catastrophe. Or it could be reconstructed in the ways in which people hoped in 1848 and in 1968. And that concludes Giovanni Arrighi's, Terence K. Hopkins, and Emmanuel Wallerstein's anti-systemic movements. We give thanks for their amazing heart in writing and disseminating as best they could their essential analysis. We're now going to attempt a long overdue synthesis and advancement of their gift. We're going to be thinking about how the wage work, coerced work, is, I'm arguing, a better term given their awareness that wage work as it is now cannot continue as it is now. Coerced work system itself abets the installation of totalitarianism, that inegalitarian world order, which is the objective of global state statesmen, who have not given up, and how the mindset crafted to fit this coerced work system, obedience likewise fits with, is the mindset of totalitarianism. And that this mindset, continuously reproduced by the wage work system, is simultaneously reproduced as both product and cause in the home. What we are considering is what the imposed wage labor status, as Saul Raphael talked about last week, does to us on a spirit level. We have the codified right here in the U.S. to, as a people, pursue happiness. So we need some people willing to move that thought and planning forward. People who see that word happiness rooted in and so posed as a global convergence, a global planning process focus tied to each individual personal process of growing beyond that world of class trained in us, which so harms and limits, keeps us from claiming our infinite. That is, we deserve all because we are all.